From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the first day of October 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Roach Ag Marketing's Logan Kimmel. He's in Naperville, Illinois. Kenny Hartman, a farmer from Waterloo, Illinois, will join us. He's the new president of the National Corn Growers Association. We'll hear from him about his priorities for the upcoming year. And then as we close out our time together, I'll give you a quick update of what USDA found in its weekly crop progress report released yesterday afternoon. And we'll hear from Don Day. Day weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day settled at $4.29. That was up 4 1/4. The March at 4.46 1/2, 4 higher. And the May futures at 4.55 3/4, up a nickel. November beans a quarter higher at $10.57 1/4. January 10.75 1/2, up a quarter. And the March up 1. That settled at $10.89 1/2. Bean meal up 5.70. Bean oil 60 cents lower. Wheat futures were up 15 1/2, and the December at 6.31 1/4. The hard red December for the day was up 14 1/2. Live cattle futures on the afternoon finished the nearby 37 1/2 higher. Feeders were down 22 1/2, and lean hogs were $1.32 1/2 higher. Logan Kimmel now joins us. He's with Roach Ag Marketing. Hello, Logan. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Todd.
Let's start with what's happened in Chicago for the day. And if you want to go through yesterday's grain stocks report, that would be good too.
Yeah. Coming into today here, we traded the stocks report that's come and gone. Now looking at more of an old news on that. I think that the news today that got the markets moving quite a bit is more tensions built up in the Middle East. So early here this morning, we saw volatile trade in some outside markets led by the crude oil, which ended up moving the Chicago board prices here on the grains, including the wheat and corn. So I think what we saw here today is more of a flight to safety move from larger hedge funds in a lot of commodities. And that would include more short covering in the grain complex. So we saw some buying off this headline news. Now, that might just be it here at the moment. Certainly something to monitor going forward, but a large swing in crude oil, $5 range thus far today. So, now that we're past the USDA reports, we are into harvest. There are still some, I guess I'd call them outside market movers here in the big picture that got today's grain trade pretty volatile.
Corn harvest, soybean harvest moving along particularly quickly in Illinois and Iowa, according to yesterday's USDA report. How much hedge pressure has been coming into the marketplace?
Well, I think we're starting to see that pick up here this week, big time, with a large window opening up here. I think as folks are getting into their soybean yields, we might have seen that hedge pressure, folks given an opportunity here to sell off the combine if they need to, a dollar higher than the lows from August. And we did start to see that in the spread action between the futures prices with a little bit bear spread that might indicate some folks are selling off the combine here after a nice rally in the grain. So I think we're going to see that, yes, start to set in here this week as a large part of the grain belt here is well underway now with harvest are going to be. So something to be mindful of as folks are looking at their local cash bids. There might be an influx of grain here coming into town with the weather cooperating and opening it up.
Did the Roach Ag Marketing iconic sell signal or market signal flash in that rally time frame? And is it still telling, if it did, farmers to make sales?
We are. We kind of view this area here going into harvest with a nice rally in the soybeans and corn as an opportunity to get caught up. So we did issue out some sell signals across the board on corn and beans for new crop. And I think producers, while it's busy, it's a busy time of the year, we have gotten a good push to where we're sitting in a little bit better of a spot than say a month ago. So when you're looking at your bottom line, talk to your merchandiser, talk about options for, you know, whether it be storage or selling and keeping ownership on paper. But I think it's, yes, an opportunity into harvest that grain producers could get caught up if they need to.
So speaking of options, what kinds of things in the way of options, and they could be options, are you recommending to producers who want to re-own the crop that they're sending across the scale in some form on paper?
Yeah, I think it varies from operation to operation, but I think what's important is to look at your different opportunities or routes you could go. If it doesn't make much sense to pay the storage and the drop charges, you can always look to re-own your bushels on the board with, say, a call spread, fixed risk on the board. Set a floor on your grain. You get the grain priced. If we have more Middle East tensions develop, dryness in Brazil going forward, and we see more spec fund buying, you still have that upside, but the main point is you're getting some bushels priced after a nice rally in the grains.
What is the Home Office telling you about the impact of war in the Middle East and how deep that might get into the marketplace and which direction things generally tend to run?
Well, I think today was a good indication of what some headlines can do to manage money in the form of maybe, again, a flight to safety. It's been interesting. We've seen a run-up in some of these outside markets leading up here the last few weeks. I think we spoke about this a little bit last week, and the metal markets pushing to all-time highs. We've seen a nice run in sugar, oats, coffee. So there's definitely been some money movement and outside market movement. I think if you see that escalate further into the Middle East going forward, my guess would be you continue to see funds liquidate short positions. But I think that's something to monitor here in the next, throughout this week and in the coming weeks in the Middle East.
The port strike on the Gulf and the West Coast, particularly the Gulf Coast, I think probably has not worked its way into the marketplace. And I believe that's because it is related to container ships as opposed to bulk carriers. Is there any news on that front?
Yeah, that's something to monitor as well here with the Gulf Coast dock strike coming into place. So basically nothing, in sight last night that was come to a deal. So going forward, could that be a problem potentially in the grain markets for exports? I think it could if this progresses. I did watch a few clips of some of the folks on that leading that front on that strike, and they sure don't seem to be messing around. So I don't know where that goes from here. I don't know how friendly that could be if that continues for the grains. While it doesn't seem to be a direct effect right now, I'd imagine that have some lingering effects on export business.
Logan, thank you much.
Thank you much. Yep.
Logan Kimmel is with Roach Ag Marketing.
This week, a farmer from the state of Illinois has taken the reins of the National Corn Growers Association. Kenneth Hartman Jr. operates a 4,000-acre grain farm due south of St. Louis. He's been active with the Illinois Corn Growers Association, the U.S. Grains Council, and now serves as the president of the National Corn Growers Association. I spoke with Kenny Hartman earlier today and assumed at the beginning of our conversation that he was a Cardinals fan.
Oh, definitely been a Cardinal fan. Maybe not this year, but no, we're basically 25 miles south of St. Louis, southeast, in a town called Waterloo, Illinois, Monroe County. We're basically been farming here. My grandparents bought this farm in 1922, but my family's been here since the 1860s. We raised corn, soybeans, and wheat. Fifth generation farmer, and 20 some years ago we used to have registered Holsteins and milk cows, but sold out to the dairy industry and basically just grain farm now.
I did not check, but I'm going to guess that you went to school in the 1980s to college, and you actually went to school during that farm crisis time, not in agriculture. What did you get your degree in?
Well, I ended up going over to St. Louis Webster Grove University and got a degree in computer programming, actually. Worked at a bank for about a year. It was First National Bank of Belleville, then became Magna Bank, and today it's part of the Regions Bank system. But I worked there for about a year and worked at home on the farm during the same time. Obviously, as you know, it was a difficult time in them times. And then eventually came back to the farm and been farming farm with my parents. And now I farm with my mother still doing some of the book work. But my wife and myself, and I've got a daughter that came home to the farm after college. So basically, we have the family back on the farm, and my daughter will be the sixth generation farmer on this farm. So,
I want to understand how your experience of the 1980s, particularly working in the bank while you were programming, but you had the farm, the bank, you understood what was happening in agriculture at the time, might help you to lead the National Corn Growers Association at this particular time when farmers are at the beginning of what might be a very, very rough period for them.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, we got $3 corn again. We've got an inflation factor with fuel going up, fertilizer's up higher than it was last year, especially nitrogen. Labor's up. I mean, you got higher interest, so definitely makes a difference. Looking back at those times, I mean, it was difficult for us. We were concerned, and I think, you know, I've always kind of looked at a financial background and always look at where we're at with finances and money. So I definitely think that it's difficult times right now, but that's why we need to get a farm bill done. That's why we need to work on creating markets. If it's ethanol, if it's trade, these are all things that the National Corn Growers' priorities are, and they're my priorities.
On those priorities, can you march me through what kind of bridges you might want to build and whom with to provide NCGA and corn growers across the nation with good underpinnings?
Well, I want to make sure that we're working with our other commodity organizations or other ag organizations. But not only that, I mean, right now with ethanol and the situations with in D.C. with internal combustion engines and concerns with that, working with the oil industry, working with some of the refinery groups, you know, AFPM, API, some of these. But also, you know, reaching out, working out with not only, you know, we got very supportive congressional, basically senators and congressmen and women in the Midwest, but we need to educate the East and the West Coast. We need to make them understand how, you know, ethanol is a great fuel source. It's environmentally friendly. It's cheaper right now than other sources, and it's good for the farmers because, I mean, we're producing plenty of corn that can go into ethanol.
What kind of things would you like to see happen with ethanol year-round, higher blends, and higher blends, meaning, I guess in my case, I'm thinking 12% or 15% rather than something higher than that?
Well, for right now, we need to get E15 year-round. I know right now E15, you know, we've 8 states that are planning on having E15 year-round in the next year. But we need the whole country. We need all the states to be E15 higher blends of ethanol. And the other thing is, Next Generation Fuel Act is one of our top priorities at National Corn Growers. That's where you go to 20-25% ethanol. You know, there's other countries that are going to higher blends of ethanol. We need to do that domestically in our own country because we've got the corn, we've got the grain. We just need to go to that, and we're hoping to support that Next Generation Fuel Act and eventually get that passed. That we have a certification fuel for higher blends for the car industry. I mean, basically, the car industry selling cars in Brazil, in South America, they're 27-30% ethanol. There's no reason why we can't do that in the United States.
Turn your attention to some of the other policy issues. Farm bill. I assume you were in Washington, D.C. Last month with all the other organizations. Why the heavy push then? And will you be successful?
Well, I was actually in D.C. 2 weeks ago. I was going around the hill with, we had a large group. When you look at, we had rice, we had cotton, we had peanuts, we had grain sorghum, we had soybeans and corn. I mean, I think we had a definitely effect when we all come in together. I don't think that's been done for many years. Hit the hill, hit about 200 different places there, talking to different congressmen and senators, and I think we got our message across. Agriculture right now is in a time where, we've got high inflation, we've got low prices, and we need to get a farm bill done. We're working on a farm bill that, last year they kicked that can down the road for an extension. We do not need that this year. We need to get a farm bill done by the end of the year. When you look at these times, and our priorities from National Corn Growers for a farm bill, our number one with that is risk management, crop insurance. With these times, we need support for higher levels of crop insurance. We need markets. One of the things in a farm bill is doubling MAP and FMD, which are the different funds that go towards, the U.S. Grains Council, Meat Export Federation, and USAPEC in these areas. Basically working in foreign countries to support and explain how good crops that we raise here in the United States and the quality that we have in these countries. So that's there. And then, Title I area, ARC and PLC, the levels that are there were set up in 2018. Them levels need to be higher because of where we're at today. So if we get a extension, it's just the same old thing. It needs to be up to date, and we feel like the four corners, the ag committees need to get together and come up with a good plan and get a farm bill passed by the end of the year. And that's what we were telling the folks.
How do you view the protectionistic policies of the Republican Party as well as the Democrats? As it's related to tariffs, both have used them in the past and both are likely to use them, whomever is elected in November.
Well, we are a bipartisan organization. We work with who works with us. We help support the congressmen and the senators that work with agriculture. And I mean, right now we want to work on trade issues. We're kind of frustrated. I mean, in the last few years, we have not had a trade agreement since USMCA, which is a good trade agreement. But there's opportunities, in Asia. There's opportunities in other countries that we need to work and have fair trade as much as free trade. We need to work together and export, because again, we've got plenty of grain, so we need to market that.
There will be an issue if tariffs are imposed, though, and agriculture, because it's one of the United States' largest exports, is likely to be a target from other countries.
Well, again, we're looking at fair trade and have work with trade agreements that are fair to parties that they'll be able to purchase our grain. So,
Any final word from you as it's related to your tenure coming up?
well, I'm just excited to going into this position. National Corn Growers is a grassroots organization. It's done great things over the years. When you look at some of the ethanol, RFS1, RFS2, the farm bills that we've came through, worked with risk management, and some of the programs that are now in crop insurance over the years that was developed by help with the National Corn Growers. And I'm just excited to try to get some of this done this year. And our big push this year is to get a farm bill done by the end of the year, and to get E15 year round to all states by the end of the year. That's probably the short term goals that I have for this organization. And I'm hoping we can get something done.
Thank you, Kenny, and have a good harvest season.
Thank you, and thank you very much for your time.
Kenneth Hartman Jr., a farmer from Waterloo, Illinois, took the reins of the National Corn Growers Association this week. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released its weekly crop progress report. It shows 75% of the corn crop in the 18 reporting states has reached the mature stage. 70% is the rolling five-year average. 21% of that crop has been harvested. That's about 3 percentage points ahead of the rolling five-year average. Soybeans dropping leaves at 81%. 73% is the five-year average, and 26% of that crop has been harvested. 18% is the rolling five-year average there. 39% of the winter wheat has been planted. That's about on pace. And 14% of that crop has emerged, also roughly on pace with the five-year average. Now here are the statisticians with their updates from across the Midwest.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician. Iowa continued to experience hot and dry conditions this week, allowing Iowa farmers 6.5 days suitable for field work during the week ending September 29, 2024. Field activities included harvesting both corn and soybeans. Subsoil moisture condition rated 11% very short, 44% short, 44% adequate, and 1% surplus. Corn harvested for grain reached 11%, 3 days behind last year, but equal to the 5-year average. Soybeans harvested reached 27% this week, 3 days ahead of both last year and the 5-year average. Pasture condition continued to deteriorate with 44% rated good to excellent this week. With the continued dry conditions, some producers have had to begin hauling water to cattle. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener. Temperatures and rainfall were both above average last week in Illinois. Rainfall averaged almost 2 inches, and that was 1 1/4 inches wetter than normal. Southern parts of the state got 4 to 5 inches of rain and more. The average temperature across the prairie state last week was 66.5 degrees, and that was 5.2 degrees above normal. Soybean harvest advanced to 24% finished, compared to 11% normally. 85% of corn acres were mature compared to 70% normally. 21% of corn acres were harvested compared to 16% for the 5-year average. Winter wheat planted reached 11% finished compared to the 5-year average of 8%, and 2% of acres have emerged. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Ag Statistics Service in Springfield.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Now let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Don Day is here from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, Don. Thanks for being with us. Tell me about the weather.
Looks like for another week or so, above average temperatures will be found over many areas of the central and western Corn Belt, but we do see a little bit of a chance for a light frost, light freeze early next week. As we get into overnight Monday and the Tuesday morning of next week, we'll see some temperatures near or below freezing across parts of central and northeast Nebraska and parts of the Dakotas, but don't know if that's going to make it into Iowa or not. And we're also looking at dry conditions. Harvest weather conditions look very good with no significant precipitation over the next week to 10 days in many areas. Down south, we do finally see a little bit of moisture now working its way into South America. It's been slow to start, but some of the west central areas of Brazil will start to see some rain over the next week to 10 days. Argentina, probably the wettest. They're starting to see better rain chances in the central and the north. Still expecting overall below average precipitation for many areas of Brazil, but those western areas will start to get into the moisture again.
Don Day is with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and helped us to wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Online, on demand, just click and play from our website at willag.org or look us up in your favorite podcast applications. Search out the Closing Market Report. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.